Good morning. Today's daf is Chafin Baba Basra. We are in Chavdal Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Marchiken es Garen Kavua min ha'ir chamisha mamas. So if you have a Garen, now in this case the Garen is basically a collection of the wheat after it was harvested. So what you're going to do now is you're going to winnow. Which again, it's been reported to me that the winnowing process is that you're going to take a pitchfork and you're going to throw all the harvest up into the air, and the wind is going to blow away the chaff, and the kernels are going to come down. And basically, it's a way of sorting. It's a form of borer. On Shabbos, in terms of Malacha Shabbos, it's its own separate Malacha. So it's called Zorer, the Zayin Vav Resh Hay. This is one of the 39 Malachas on Shabbos, and over here we're not talking about Shabbos, we're talking about Nezikin, and the chaff, when it blows away, if it blows into somebody else's property, so it's harmful, it's Nezek. So as a result of that, so there has to be, once again, a distance, in order to keep people safe from one another. So let's go back to the Mishnah. Marchikin is Garen Kavua Minei Yerchem Mishamama. So if you're going to set up a Garen Kavua, if you're going to set up an established pile of your grain, so it's not, again, it's not grain, it's really the whole thing. It's the kernel, it's the chaff. So you have to do so at a distance of 50 amas from the city. Lo yasa adam garen kavua b'soch shalo, and lim ken yesh lo chamish amam l'chol ruach. And same thing is true within your own property. So if you're going to make a garden within your own property, where again you're going to throw it up into the sky and the chaff is going to blow away, so once again in your own property it has to be 50 amas away from somebody else's property. Umarchik minetio savsho chavero uminiro, and it's got to be at a distance from the saplings of your neighbor and the plowing of your neighbor, bichdei shelo yazik, enough so that it won't damage. Okay, now maishan reisha maishan seifa. Now immediately the Gemara is bothered by what seems to be an inconsistency in the Mishnah. Now it's a small inconsistency, but still it's an inconsistency. You see, in the first part of the Mishnah gives a very definitive number. It talks about 50 amas, and then the end of the Mishnah it says, "And how far should you distance it? Enough so shelo yazik, so that it doesn't damage." So the first part of the Mishnah is talking about a specific number, and the second part of the Mishnah just simply says at a safe distance. So I'm Rabbi Seifas and Lagarin Shaina Kavua. So Abaye says, well, what happened in the Mishnah is that in the first part of the Mishnah we're talking about a Garen Kavua, and so therefore it's set at 50 amas. And then in the second part of the Mishnah it's a Garen She'enu Kavua, it's less, and we're going to define in just a moment what that means by less, but it's less, and so therefore you don't have to distance yourself 50 amas, a safe amount. So the Gemara says, "Hechi dami garen she'enu kavua." Okay, so let's wrap our head around what does that mean? A garen she'enu kavua. I'm Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, kol she'enu zora berachas. So if you don't need to do zora, again, that's the winnowing that we described back in the Mishnah. If you don't need to do it with a pitchfork, meaning it's such a small amount, either you're doing it by hand or the wind is just blowing it on its own. But in other words, you don't need a pitchfork in order to do it. So this is the kind of garen where it doesn't have to be 50 amas, it could just simply be a safe amount. So that is one explanation of the Mishnah, so that is Abaye. So basically, according to Abaye, what happened in the Mishnah is that the Mishnah shifted from talking about a Garen HaKavua to a Garen She'enu Kavua. For a Garen HaKavua, it's 50 amas. For a Garen She'enu Kavua, it's just simply a safe amount.
She said Achas is a shovel.
Yeah? Yeah.
Pel.
A shovel?
Pel, yeah. Pel in French is a shovel.
Okay. Oh, fine. So, generally, rachas is a pitchfork. Okay, that's fine.
He gives you the French.
No, I see. I know. And I know you know French. I don't. Okay. So, okay. Okay. Fine. So back to the Gemara Rav Ashi Amar. So now Rav Ashi is going to give a different shot in the Mishnah, and that is Matam Kamar. The Mishnah didn't shift talking about a Garen Kavua to a Garen She'enu Kavua. It doesn't accept a bias pshat. But according to Rav Ashi, what the Mishnah is just doing is it's just giving an explanation. Meaning, it's telling you why. My time amarchik in Garen Kavua menir chamisha mama. Why is it that you have to distance the Garen Kavua from your neighbor or from the city 50 amas? Kidei shelo yazik. It's because it is damaging. The Mishnah is just simply giving us a pshat. Now, the truth of the matter is that now that we are well into the second parak of Baba Basra. Truth of the matter is, we knew this already, meaning that's really, it's all of our Mishnayos. Every one of the Mishnayos is Kadesh Lo Yazik. So at this point in time now, the Mishnah needs to give an explanation. Oh, it's because it's going to damage. It's kind of been the thematic approach of the entire second parak. Okay, but for reasons which I'm not sure if I can really articulate, but over here the Mishnah has to explain this is for the purposes of Nezek. Makes the Gemara challenges Marchikin Goren Kavua Menayir Chamisha Mamu Kishem Shemarchikin Menayir Chamisha Mamu Kach Marchikin Midaliyav Umikshawav Umitiyosav Uminiro Shochavir Chamisha Mamu Kidei Shelo Yazik. So here the Brisa, again, basically telling us the same thing we learned back in the Mishnah. The Brisa is just a little more specific. So you got to make sure that if you're having a winnowing pile, so the winnowing pile has got to be at a distance from the gourds, the cucumbers, the saplings, the plowing of your friend 50 amas, so that it doesn't damage. Good. That's the Brisa. Bishlam al Ravashi Nichan. Now, according to Ravashi, it's perfect because it's exactly how we explained our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was giving us the distance of 50 amos, and it's so that it doesn't damage. It's kidei. But El Allah Abaye Kasha. But according to Abaye, it's difficult because Abaye understood the Mishnah as talking about a Goren HaKavua versus a Goren She'enu HaKavua. And so that's not the sense that you get from the Brisa, so Kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. According to Abaye, the Brisa is a little bit difficult. His explanation of the Mishnah is not going to work out as well once you have learned the Brisa. Okay. Bishlam mi makshios av medalya avdaza avka va'ase bilibo umatse lei. So the Gemara says, here's what I understand from the Brisa. When you have your winnowing pile, so again, what you're going to do is you're going to throw it up into the air and the chaff is going to be blown. And if it's blown onto your neighbor's gourds and his produce that is growing in his field, so the Gemara says, I understand how that's damaging because it's going to go and it's going to hit the liba umatsile. It's going to hit literally the heart, but it's, in other words, it's going to hit the fruit of your neighbor and it's going to dry it out. Okay? Apparently the chaff is itself very dry and it's just simply going to dry your friend's fruit. And the Gemara says, and I get that. Ela miniro am I. But if your friend plowed his field, and you now winnow, and the chaff goes onto his field, not only is it not damaging, but he really, truth of the matter is, he should give you a bigger shekoach. Because really, what is the chaff? The chaff, once it composts, once it deteriorates, it really turns into fertilizer. So basically what you're doing now is you're fertilizing his property. And so that's not damaging, and in fact, just the opposite. It's good. So the Gemara says, so why would the Brisa, and quite frankly the Mishnah as well, why would the Brisa tell us that you can't allow the chaff to blow into your friend's plowed property? So Ella Minira Maya Rabbi Abba Barzav Devitema Rabbi Abba Barzucha Mimne Shoso So Galal. So because it turns into fertilizer. And Rashi over here, top Rashi and Chafei Amud Aleph, Mar below Zevel, Visarfitz Azraim Shinizrobo. So it's too much. In other words, it creates too much fertilizer. And it's really too much of a good thing. In other words, right, a little bit of fertilizer is good. You already fertilized the field. Now there's more fertilization in the field. There's more compost on the field. So that's not going to be good. And it will do the opposite. It will ruin the zera that you plant there. Okay. We are up to the next Mishnah. We're on Chafei Amud Aleph, today's daf. And the Mishnah is going to introduce us to basically different types of distances that need to be kept because of about a bad smell, a bad odor. Okay, this will segue to today's daf into discussion of winds, because what carries odor, of course, is wind, and the Gemara is going to then launch into a discussion. It really will be a good part of today's daf regarding the various winds that come about. Okay, this is an area, topic, an area which, from the Gemara's perspective, I get basically the Gemara, but admittedly, I'm going to be extraordinarily limited in terms of my understanding and my ability to communicate a lot of these ideas about winds. And while the Gemara is on the topic, just more area where I know a little bit about, but again, hard for me to communicate the Gemara. Gemara is going to go a little bit into astronomy, and specifically the rotation of the sun and the moon around the more about the sun around the earth, and basically the shape of the earth and the trajectory of the sun. So again, these are going to be, look, they're interesting topics, and trying to explain it from the Gemara's perspective is always presents itself a bit of a challenge. I'll try my best. In the meantime, the Mishnah, however, the Mishnah is where I feel comfortable, because it's basic It's halacha. Marchikinus and avails vesakvars vesaburstikim in a ear, chamishim ama. If you're going to be opening up a shop for the working with carcasses, with a cemetery, with a tannery, so all these things emit a foul odor, so there has to be at a distance from a city of 50 ama. Take a look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah. Es and avails vesakvars vechule mishum reachra. So clearly Rashi, by adding the word vechule, meaning that in all these cases in the Mishnah, the principal issue is that it produces a foul odor, and so therefore you do not want members of the city to be having to smell that foul odor. So therefore, it has to be kept at a distance. Back to the Mishnah, a nosen borsiki ella mizrach ha'ir. As far as the borsiki is concerned, so that can only be set up to the east of the city. Rabbi Kiva omer l'chol ruach ha'oseh chutz mima'arava. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that it could be set up on any side of the city except to the west of the city. Umarchi chamishim ama, and it has to be at a distance of 50 amas. Now, it's not perfectly clear at this point in time. It will be later, whether Rabbi Akiva is setting the 50 amma distance on every direction, and to the west, not you can't set it up at all, or no. Maybe what Rabbi Akiva means is that the 50 ammas is going on the west, and then when you're going in any other direction, as long as the smell doesn't get to the city. So we're going to explain Rabbi Akiva a little bit better as we get to the Gemara, because the Gemara will have a brisa. Back to the Mishnah. Marchikin es ha mishrim in a yarek v'sakreshim in a mitzam v'sakhradam in a dvarim. So the Mishnah quotes, we saw this line earlier in this perek, when you set up a mishra, right, basically a pool of water where you're going to be soaking the flax, and it's going to create a certain chemical reaction which is going to be harmful. So you cannot put it on the border of your property, but rather you have to recess it into your property so it doesn't damage your neighbor's vegetables. Vesakreshim nabitzalim. Same thing when you plant leek. Now again, I cannot explain this from a chemical standpoint, but the Gemara's assumption, the Mishnah's assumption, is that leek is going to be harmful towards the onion. So once again, when you're planting leek, you cannot plant it at the edge, but you must recess it into your property so its ill effect does not affect your neighbor's onions. And same thing with chardal and devarim, with mustard and the bees, meaning that when your neighbor has a beehive by his edge of the property and you want to plant your mustard seeds, you have to recess the mustard seeds into your property so your mustard seeds do not adversely affect the bees. Now you remember, we at least I tried to explain earlier in this parak, it has to do with the fact that the bees are going to taste the mustard seeds if it's at the edge of the property. The bees are going to get this kind of like sour, bitter taste on their mouth. They're going to go back and they're going to eat all the honey. And so basically what you're doing by planting the mustard seeds is you're going to be ruining your neighbor's honey hive. So therefore it has to be at a distance. Rabbi Yossi Matir b'chardal. Rabbi Yossi says that he allows the chardal to be placed at the edge. And this is Rabbi Yossi, who's been consistent throughout this perek of I'll do everything on my property, what I want, you'll do what on your property, what you want, as long as it's not, we learned in yesterday's daf, as long as it's not gira delay, as long as I'm not shooting arrows into your property, but I'm doing what I want on my property, I could do so up to my border. That is Shitas Rabbi Yossi. Al hanizak laharchik et atzmo. It is responsibility of the other person to distance himself from me, but basically I could do what I want on my property.
Which is unacceptable.
Yeah, Rav Yossi does not accept it. But the maybe by the chardal, maybe. It's in other words, the Gemara earlier said that they are conflicting, it's competing nezek one onto the other. So maybe in this particular scenario, but in general, no. Okay, Ibai Lehu. Rabbi Kiva Hechi Kamar. So look, the Mishnah talked about distancing because of odors. And Rabbi Akiva said that the West is the worst. Now, how exactly to understand Rabbi Akiva? So I already presented the two sides. The Gemara is going to spell it out. Ibailu Rabbi Akiva Hechikamar. L'chol ruach osev v'somechutz mima'arava demarchik nun ama v'osev. Is Rabbi Akiva saying either A, that you could set up your borsiki, your tannery, to the north, east, and south at basically any distance you want, again, as long as it's some safe distance, but when it comes to the west, it has to be set off 50 amas from the city. Or maybe no. What Rabbi Akiva meant is that when it comes to the north, the east, and the south, it has to be set off 50 amas. And then but when it comes to the west, not at all. You cannot put it the borsiki at any distance from the west, because the wind coming from the west is so strong that it's no... I got ahead of myself. I said it's a function of the wind. I'm right now taking it back because I know the Gemara that's coming up. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, so let's see now a Braisa, the Tanya. So here we have a Braisa, and as I told you back in the Mishnah, now we're here at the Braisa spells it out. Rabbi Kiva Amar L'chol Rucho, so Marchech Hamishimama. When you set up your tanner and you're doing it outside the city, so you can go to the north and the east and or the south, and you can set it up that has to be at a distance of 50 amas. Chutz me but you cannot set up the borsiki in the west at all because it's tadir, because of its commonality, of its frequency. I'm going to explain that better in just a moment.
How can you do it? Always will be in west side.
Right. What do you mean? Yeah, that's correct.
So you can't set up at all.
Can, according to Rabbi Kiva, now based on the Braisa, you can't set up the borsiki to the west side of the city. Right. That's right.
The west side of the city.
Right. Okay. Now, Amalei Rav LeRav Nachman Mai Tadira. So good. So now we know that according to Rabbi Akiva, the pshat that we're saying in Rabbi Akiva, according to the Braisa, which is now, of course, the same pshat we're going to see in the Mishnah, is that what Rabbi Akiva was setting off the markers at 50 amas, he was talking about north, south, and east. But when talking about the west, you can't put it up at all. And the reason why the Braisa says is in an ambiguous term of Tadira. And the Gemara now wants to know, what does that mean? So, Ilema Tadira Baruchos. Now, the Gemara says, now it has to do with the wind. V'amar Rav Chanan Bar Abba, Amarav, Dal Ruchos Menashos B'chol Yom. Wind blows in from every side all day, every day. So, it cannot be a function of the wind. A moment ago, let it slip that it has to do with the wind. The Gemara now rejects that idea. It doesn't have to do with the wind. V'ruch Tzvanisim Kulan. And the Gemara notes, by the way, just as a parenthetical note, that the north wind, it blends in with the other winds at all times. Without the north wind blending in with the other winds, the world cannot sustain itself. Meaning that there is a certain balance placed into the ruchos, where you need the complementary northern wind to go along with the other three winds. But anyway, I'm sorry. And another parenthetical note is that the worst of the winds is the southern wind. Southern wind is the most difficult. And had it not been for the Ben Nates, and if you look at Rashi over here, the Ben Nates Rashi describes as a malach asui b'demus Nates. So it has to do with a certain malach who is in the form of a Nates, right? It's the type of bird. And Shemamida, and he controls the southern wind, and without him controlling the southern wind, so the whole world will be destroyed. Shenemar, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Iov, Hamivino sech ya'aver nates, yifros kenafav l'seiman. So again, just as a way of us trying to conceptualize, visualize, so the Navi describes how yifros kenafav. So this malach spreads out his wing, and with that wing is able to control the southern wind. And Teiman is a reference to the southern wind. So Ella Maitadira. So back to our question. Rabbi Akiva says you can't set up the borsiki to the west at all. And the reason why, so we've ruled out the winds. It has nothing to do with the winds, because winds are blowing from every direction all day. So Tadira, so the Gemara says Tadira b'Shechina. So the Gemara says is that what Rabbi Akiva meant by that is that the Shechina is to the west. And what it is an affront to the Shechina if you were to take the borsiki and you would put it to the west. Okay. I'll throw in a small disclaimer. We are now going to be discussing over the course of these Gemaras in which direction the Shechina lies. Okay, now, as far as the direction of the Shechina, so obviously it's a difficult concept to understand, and admittedly, I am extraordinarily limited in my understanding of the placement of the Shechina. The Gemara will have various opinions in terms of where the Shechina is at. Obviously, this Braisa, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, is of the opinion that the Shechina is to the west. Now, Again, the Shekhinah is some sort of concentration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Now again, just as a concept, obviously it's very hard to understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is below guf, it's not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physics, it's metaphysics, it's, you know, he's lamalam in a teva, he's totally above nature. Something that, you know, hard for us to put into words what, well, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the, right now I happen to have a chavrusa in Derech Hashem. So, it's my second round of the Sefer. So anyway, in the beginning of the Sefer, so he tries to articulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So and Ramchal obviously, you know, does so in such an elegant fashion. But anyway, but obviously there's no physical way of explaining it. So speaking of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a particular direction obviously is very difficult. But in other words, but obviously Kadosh Baruch Hu fashioned the world, and within the world that he fashioned, so he can put more of a concentration of himself within a certain direction. That's the basic idea. With that in mind, where is that concentration? So, according to Rabbi Kiva, it's to the west. Now, I'm just making an observation, and take with it as much as you want. But, in other words, in the setting up of the Beis HaMikdash, when you consider the nature of the Beis HaMikdash as it's set up, more Kedusha is found as you go more westbound. Meaning that if you think about the Azara is all the way in the east. Then you build the Beis HaMikdash, the actual edifice itself is now west. And as you're in the edifice, as you're in the actual Beis HaMikdash, the more west you travel, the more Kedusha that you have. And you are going to be walking now in the Beis HaMikdash towards the west. You're headed towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that is the most west side of the building. So again, we have this basic idea that there's more concentration of Shekhinah as you head more westbound. So that's the basic idea. And then from the city, now we're turning this into a halacha that the borsiki, which has a foul odor that comes off of it. So according to Rabbi Kiva, it's an affront if you put it to the west side of the city. And as pointed out before, as someone here pointed out, you know, the west side of this city might be the east side of another city. So, right, so obviously there's, you know, there's always a reference point. I understand that, but again, okay, as you'll see as we go through today's daf, not necessarily. Meaning, well, the Gemara is going to touch on that a little bit later on, but not necessarily.
It's in the west of Poland.
Correct. Right, but again, it's to the east of where we are. So, everything's a reference point. I totally understand that. Again, I'm trying to explain the Gemara to the best of my ability. I'm Rav Yeshua Malevi. Back to the Gemara, right in the middle of Chafei Amal Alf. So let's be machzik tova to our forefathers, right, to Avosenu. Rashi over here says Avosenu in this context is Anshe Knesset HaGedola. So we know this because the pasuk we're about to say over is from Ezra Nehemiah. So the Ezra Nehemiah obviously is historically at the same time of the Anshe Knesset Gedola. They were members of the Anshe Knesset Gedola. So Shodienu Makom Tila Dichziv Tzva Shamayim Lecha Mishtach Chavim. So we are down to Tzva Shamayim, which is to the west. Interesting. Sounds like the direction we should be facing when davening is we should be facing the Shekhinah. I know you and I have been trained, and the Gemara and Bracha certainly has helped us think this way. We should be facing the Beis HaMikdash. Our Gemara here in Baba Basra and Daf Chalfei, at least in this opinion, is saying no, that the proper direction that one should face when davening is towards the west, because Shekhinah Bamarav, because according to this opinion, the Shekhinah is to the west. Now the Gemara understood this based on the imagery that, look, what happens when the sun rises in the morning? It rises in the east. And when it sets, that's the bowing of the sun. Oh, so why is the sun bowing? So the sun is bowing because Shekhinah Bamarav. That was the Gemara's assumption based on the Pasuk in Nehemiah. What the Gemara now is saying is not necessarily. What you could understand the imagery to mean is that really the Shekhinah is in the east. We're just making an argument. The Shekhinah is in the east, and as far as the sun is concerned, the sun is like when you when somebody walks away from the Aron, so they don't turn their back to the Aron, they continue facing the Aron. So when the sun is quote-unquote bowing in the west, but it's like basically the sun backing away from the Shekhinah, which is in the east. So again, the fact that the sun is setting in the west is not a raya that Shekhinah is in the west. So the Gemara concludes Kashi. The Gemara says, you're right. Meaning, based on the pattern of the sun, we don't necessarily know it's not enough of an argument to make that the sun, that the Shekhinah is actually in the west. Okay. Rabbi Oshia Savar Shekhinah B'chol Makom. Now, as far as Rabbi Oshia is concerned, so his opinion is that there is no specific direction where there's a concentration of Shekhinah in this world, but rather B'chol Makom. Shekhinah is in every direction. Dam Rabbi Oshia Ma'idich Sevatohu Hashem Elavadcha Tasisa Es HaShemayim. So you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are you made the Shemayim. Shemay HaShemayim, obviously the pasuk goes on, but the basic idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be found in the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be found in every direction. And the Gemara now notes, just as an aside, Shulchacha lo kishluchei basav adam. And by the way, your shlichim HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not shlichim basav adam. Shulchei basav adam. You see, when we send somebody, a messenger, to do something for us, so how do we know that he did it? There's only one way we're going to know, and that is, and by the way, this is before texting, that we're going to send him, he's going to do a shlichus, and then the only way we're going to find out is when he comes back to tell us that he did a shlichus. However, your shlich, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you send the shlich to do something, and then they don't have to come back to report. There, because the Shekhinah is everywhere, so basically it's been reported. So, shlichusam shenemar, hatishlach barakim v'yachu v'yamu l'cha hinini yavo v'yamru. So, v'yamru l'cha. Hinenu yavo v'yamru lo ne'amar, ela v'yalchu v'yamru. In other words, you don't see the pasuk describing how they have to come back in order to report, but rather, they go and they'll say, which means that they can report from wherever they are. Malamish Shekhinah b'chol makom. And the reason why is because Shekhinah b'chol makom, and again, now with the cell phone, we just have a great way, I just have such an easy way of explaining this, meaning basically, Shekhinah b'chol makom, meaning that there's reception everywhere, and as a result of that, so they don't have to go back to tell you, they just simply, they have the reception, there are towers everywhere, and so that's how they report. But according to this opinion, Shekhinah is b'chol makom. Where do we stand right now in terms of the Gemara? Where Shekhinah is? So we have so far two opinions. One is, and we can attribute this to Rabbi Kiva as well, because that's how the Braisa understands it. That's how the Gemara understands the Braisa, that you can't stop the Borsuki in the West is because Shekhinah is b'marav, and together with that, Rabbi Shuman Levi also is signing with his position that Shekhinah is b'marav. On the other side, you have Rabbi Oshia, who says that Shekhinah is b'chol makom. Just again, as an interesting aside over here, so it's not even an aside. If you take a look at Tosfos, fourth Tosfos down on the Amud, in the middle of the Tosfos, he has an interesting discussion. I'm not starting at the beginning of the Tosfos, but four lines down, Vim Tomer. V'amaylo neida makum tefila mi'beis ma'amikdash ha'isa sham shechina b'ma'arav. Right, I made the observation earlier that when you look at the Beis HaMikdash, so you'll note that as you head westbound in the Beis HaMikdash, so you're getting to more and more Kedusha, to the point where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is on the west side of the building that's in the west side of the Azara. Sorry. So why doesn't that become the indicator that Shekhinah is b'marav? Basically, what Tosfos wants to know is that the Gemara is quoting Pesukim. You don't even need to quote Pesukim. Meaning, just look at the way the Beis HaMikdash is constructed. V'yesh lamar, so Tosfos writes, demisham ein lomod, af agav de Shekhinah b'chol makom, yev shel ha'asim aron v'kaparos ela b'tzad echad. So, look, it could very well be that Shekhinah is b'chol makom, but we just have to choose a side. And, okay, yeah, it was the west side. But, in other words, but that in of itself is not enough evidence that the Shekhinah is b'marav. The Ritzba Omer, Tosfos over here quotes an interesting opinion. And that is the Misham in Lomod, that as far as the construction of the Beis HaMikdash and the direction that it was set in, that is not necessarily a proof that Shekhinah is b'marav. Why? The Shekhinah b'marav. The Nehi, the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ayah b'marav HaMikdash. Yes, it's true that the Kodesh HaKadoshim was basically situated on the west side of the courtyard of the entire Azara. That part's true. Mikama kama ha'aron, she'ashkhinah sham, kidechziv v'yinu'adati l'cha sham, haya b'mizrach kodesh ha'kadoshim. But the Gemara quotes an opinion. This is the Ritzba, one of the Balei Tosfos. So he says that when you're in the kodesh ha'kadoshim, so you're going to find that the aron is actually set on the east side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why when you're looking at the Beis HaMikdash, it is not an absolute proof that Shekhinah is Bamarav, because the Aron is set on the east side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Where he gets this from, meaning what is the source of this Bali, this opinion amongst the Bali Atosos, it's, I can't tell you, I don't know.
When it's right back against the Broiches, which is the east side of
right, but there's no I right. That's his opinion. That's certainly his opinion, but he doesn't have a source for that. And I'll also point out, I don't have the Rambam here. I'm doing it without the Rambam in front of me. Please forgive me, but the Rambam doesn't agree. The Rambam says that everything is moved to the west, meaning that the Beis HaMikdash is on the west side of the Azara, and the Kodesh HaKadosh is on the west side of the Beis HaMikdash, and that the Aron is on the west side of the Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Rambam has everything all the way moved and pushed off to the west side. So just an interesting note over here in terms of where the Aron is within Kodesh HaKadoshim. Bali Atosos over here has an opinion that's on the east side. Rambam sits on the west side. Okay, with Zman HaMashiach, we'll find out where it needs to be placed.
Today's pasha is not much more like the Gemara. When the Yidden said Naser and Nishma, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu went back to the Rabban Shlom to tell him that.
Right. He went back and forth. They went back and forth.
You see that even the
Shlichus. Okay. Very good. All right. Very good. Okay, after Rabbi Shmuel, we're back to the Gemara on Chavei Amud Aleph. We are about 2/3 of the way down on the Amud, and continuing. Rabbi Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Yoshia that Shechinah is b'chol makom. The Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel minayin Shechinah b'chol makom shenemar inyam malach adover bi yosei umalach achar yosei lekraso. So the malach who speaks to me, it goes out, and another malach comes in. So acher avlo namar ella likraso. Now, in other words, the navi does not describe where the malach comes returns in order to inform, but just simply the next malach knows that it's his turn. So how do we have this kind of communication where one malach goes out but it doesn't need to return? So malam is shechinah b'chol makom. So again, shechinah is b'chol makom, and therefore there is no need for the malachim to have to go back. And Rav Sheshis himself also is of the opinion that Shechinah is b'chol makom. Damele Rav Sheshis l'shamei. So when Rav Sheshis turns to his attendant and says to his attendant, I need you to stand me up and face me so that I can daven. Remember, we have two blind Amoraim in the Gemara. Rav Yosef, Rav Sheshis. I mean, there could be more. I'm just talking about popularity and the ones that come up again and again. So Rav Sheshis is one of them. So in the Gemara over here, Rav Sheshis turns to his attendant and says, look, I need to stand up in order to daven. And he had an attendant who helped him out. As far as which way I should face, so what did Rav Sheshis say? Anyway, doesn't matter. So the Gemara says, L'chol ruchas okman labar mi mizrach. I'll face in every direction, and the truth of the matter is I'll face in every direction except for the east. I mean, I understand for us here it's such an irony, meaning we go out of our way to face east. But I'll face in every direction except for east. V'lam mishum delay space shechina. Now, it has nothing to do with the fact that it doesn't have a shechina. Elam mishum damore ba'mine. However, if I face east, so the minim are going to look at me and the minim are going to say, oh, sun worshiper, right? Because the minim look at the sun as a koach, and they worship the sun. And the sun rises in the east, so that's obviously where it must emanate from. So they turn to the east in order to worship the sun.
The ceremony, they would actually go outside the Beit HaMikdash and face the east and would like expose themselves.
Yes, yes, yes. Correct. So okay. So Rav Sheshit says to his attendant, I don't want to face the east, but having nothing to do with the. With the Shechinah. Shechinah is b'chol makom. And the Gemara continues. Rabbi Abahu Amar Shechinah b'marav. Rabbi Abahu is of the opinion that Shechinah is b'marav. So he goes back to the opinions of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So, Damar Rabbi Abai, my Uriah, Avir Ka. So the word Uriah is a reference to Avir Ka. So, now, I'm going to find out right now if this Rashi is. Has a good tradition. Uriah, Rashi says, Ani shamati kach korin lamara b'lashon Parsi. That in Lashon Parsi, so the west is referred to as Uriah. So now I have two Parsi speakers here, West in Farsi is not. It's an old Persian. Okay. Huh?
West is Arab.
Okay, does not sound the same.
Right.
Okay. Valinira, okay, well that's good because Rashi has another pshat. So Valinira Shikach Karan Lamizrach Balashan Laaz, Vahinu Dekamar Avirka, Shashkin Bamarav Upanav Lamizrach, Nimsa Mizrach Aviro. So it's if you're in the west, so you are, that means that you're looking at the east. So that could be the understanding of how Urya gets us to the fact that Shekhinah is Bamarav. Either way, in any event, Rabbi Abba was of the opinion that Shekhinah is Bemarav. Again, going back to the first opinions we saw today. I'm Rav Yehuda Mai Dechsev. Okay. So Adkan. So that basically takes us to the end of the first part of today's daf. So at least in the discussion of where the Shekhinah is situated, we have in the Gemara so far two basic opinions throughout the Gemara, and that is that either Shekhinah is Bechol Makom or Shekhinah is Bemarav. And it would certainly seem, especially from Rav Sheshis and his attendant, that Lamaisa, Lanafkamina, in terms of the practical halacha that generates from here, is the direction you need to be facing when davening. So if Shekhinah is Bechol Makom, so you could be facing any direction. And in fact, Rav Sheshis said to his attendant, yeah, you can put me in any direction. If Shekhinah is Bemarav, so that means that you should be facing west when davening. And what do we do? So for our purposes, we do none of the above. We face the base of Mikdash. So and if you take a look at Tosus over here, so Tosus points that out, that that we take the position that the Shekhinah, that when we daven, we're facing towards the base of Mikdash and not in a particular direction, or as Rav Sheshit had it, in any direction. Okay. The next part of today's daf, and the remainder of today's daf, has to do with winds and the sun going around the earth. So again, from the Gemara's perspective, the Gemara is going to be giving an explanation. And we could say very simply, and when the Maharal learns these Gemaras, the Maharal does learn the Gemara these ways, and the Gemara here is not describing physics, but rather metaphysics. Meaning that the Gemara over here is not necessarily giving us a astronomical physical way of explaining the earth and the sun and the universe, but it's rather a baderach hamashal. It's a metaphor. It could be just simply be talking about from our perception and not necessarily from the objective nature of nature. So with that in mind, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say the Gemara, I'm going to read the Gemara, I'm going to explain the words of the Gemara, but not necessarily use it to explain physical reality. Am Rav Yehuda Mai Dechsev. So first we turn to the psukim that describe the winds. Yarovka Matar Lechiz Uruch Ma'aravis. This is the western wind. Shabar Me'ar Poshal, and it comes from the back of the earth. The earth has a front and back. If you take a look again at Tosfos, describing the front back of the nature, you don't even need Tosos. Rashi. Before Tosos. Rashi, Me'ar Posha Olam, we're talking about the back of the earth, which is to the west. So, Anishamati, Mechaskosh Olam, Al Shem Shashchina, Bemara, Svirle. Ve'ani Omer, now, as far as the, alright, Rashi says one pshat, which is that the Shekhinah is the Marav. But Ani Omer, Me'acharav Sha'olam Sha'amarav Kari Achor, Shenemer, Hein Kadam Ehalech, Ve'eneni Va'achor Velo Avin. That the west is considered the back of the earth, meaning that the earth has, so to say, a front and a back. East is the front, west is the back. So, when we're talking about the west wind, so that is the pasuk of Ya'arof, the Oref is the back of the neck. Right, we just spoke about the other day, the Egel Arufa, which is, you know, hitting the back of the neck. So the western wind is considered the back of the neck. And Tiza Katali Matre Zurach Sfonis. And the Tal that comes is coming from the north. She Mazelas Es HaZahav. And what it does is it decreases the value of gold. Why should that be? So because the northern wind is very destructive. It brings a lot of heat. There's not a lot of food in this world. And so therefore, there is going to be basically a demand for food, and the value of gold is going to go down. Bechena Omer Hazalim Zahav Mikis. Kiseirim Alei Desha. Continuing now in the Pasuk. And this is all in the Zosa Bracha. So I'm sorry, this is in Hazinu. So Kisirim Alei Desha Zurach Mizrachis, that's referring to the east wind. Shem Misa'ares Es Ha'olam Kiseir. So it basically provides a coat for the world. It provides shade for the world. Ucharivim Alei Esef Zurach Dromis, that's a reference to the southern wind. Shumala Revivim Omegedalis Asavim. So it provides the proper precipitation for the world, and it grows the grass. Tanya Rebbe Elazar Omer Olam LaAchsadra Hudame. How do we view the world? So according to Rebbe Eliezer, it's looked at as an achsadra. Now, an achsadra, generally speaking, is like a porch. And generally speaking, it's opened up on all four sides. In this imagery, which I'm only going to try to explain. So over here in Rashi says, we're talking about where it's closed on three sides, but open on one side. Veruch Svonis Einom Esovevis. And as far as the north is concerned, it does not surround, meaning that the open side is the north side. Again, I'm only attempting to explain. And when the sun arrives now at the northwest corner, meaning basically it's setting, so it goes above the rakia. Remember, from the Gemara's perspective, there was a dome placed on top, and basically the sun goes into the dome, comes back around, and goes again. And so basically all this is happening in the open side on the north. That is Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshua Amar Olam Lekova Hudome. The world is more like a kuba, Rashi explains, meaning that it is a tent where it is surrounded by walls on all four sides. And when the west arrives in the northwest, it basically goes now behind the dome. And it goes to the south, it goes to the north. Through the south during the daytime, on the north at night. Now again, a lot of this is also dependent on seasons, meaning that from an Eretz Yisrael standpoint, in the summertime, so the sun is going to be spending its time on the north side of the hemisphere. In the wintertime, the sun is going to be spending some of its time in the south side of the hemisphere. So again, that all presupposes that we're giving some sort of physical description. And again, as I pointed out in my disclaimer, not necessarily. So Savev Savev Holech Ruach Val Sivasav Shava Ruach Eilo Panei Mizrach Panei Marv Shapamim Savtem Apamim Malachtam. Sometimes the sun goes around. Sometimes it's circumvents. Hu Haya Omer. Now the Brisa continues. So far we have basically two constructs of the world. One is Rabbi Yoshua, and the other one is Rabbi Eliezer. Sorry, let me do it in the right order. The first one's Rabbi Eliezer. The second one's Rabbi Yoshua. In these two constructs of the world, so is there an opening side? Is there no opening side? Rabbi Eliezer says there is, the north. Rabbi Yeshua says there is not. And even in these constructs of the world, now Hu Haya Omer, he would say. Now this is a Brisa taking us back to Rabbi Eliezer. I don't have to guess. The Gemara says it. Asan LeRabbi Eliezer. The Gemara just quickly interjects in the middle of the Brisa to tell us that we're going back to Rabbi Elazar. It goes to the end. This is a reference to the southern wind. Umemazrim kara, and it would provide some sort of precipitation. Zuruch tzvonis, that's the northern wind. Minashmas ayiten kerach. Zuruch maravis, this is the western wind. Virachav mayim bemutzak. Zuruch mizrachis, and that's a reference to the eastern wind. Okay. The Hamamar, the Gemara says, Ruach Dromis Ma'ale Reviva Megadel Sasavim. So the Gemara says, now, previously we talked about how it was the southern wind that was providing the precipitation, and now, in the end of the Brisa, so the end of the Brisa did not credit the southern wind for that precipitation. So Lokasha Hadasya Matra Benichusa Habishvichusa. So the Gemara talks about different types of precipitation, one where it's a good rain, where it's a rain that will benefit, and the other one where it's the shofech, the rain basically pours. It is destructive rain. Amr of Chizda my dichsiv mitzafon zahav yatez ziruch tzvonis shemazel says the zahav. Once again, the Gemara speaks of this idea that the northern wind is a destructive wind. It provides heat, and there's a scarcity of food, and no one's going to be buying gold at that time. V'chenu amr azalim zahav mikis. Amr afam bar papa amr of Chizda miyam shachar beis hamikdash lo hug shama ruach dramis. From the time that the beis hamikdash was destroyed, the south does not provide its rain that provides the necessary precipitation that we need. Shenemar v'exur al yamin v'ra'av v'yochal al smol v'lo saveu. Basically, we don't have the kind of good precipitation that we once had when there was a Beis HaMikdash. Uksiv tzafon v'yamim matam b'ratam. V'amar afim bar papa amar al-chisim yam shachar Beis HaMikdash enag shamim yordim mi'otzer tov. Geshem doesn't come from the otzer hatov, it does not come from the good storehouse. Shenema yifatach Hashem lecha ha'otzra ha'tov bizman sheyisrael osim ritzono shel malkom v'yisrael shurim al admasam, when we are compliant and we are living in Eretz Yisrael, gishamim yordim mi'otzer tov. So Geshem comes from the otzer ha'tov bizman she'en yisrael shurim al admasam en gishamim yordim mi'otzer tov. It does not come from the good storehouse. Amar Rebbe Yitzchak. I wrote this she'achkim yadrim. So if you want to get smarter, so yadrim. So you should go to the south. Now, what does that mean, go to the south? So Rashi over here says, "Bitfilaso yachzir panav ledaron." So when you're davening, you should be facing southbound when you daven. Wow, after today's daf, I do not blame you for being confused about which direction you should be davening in. So the good news is Rav Sheshes, basically, he was okay with every direction, except for the east. So, admittedly, we're literally today's daf. We're all over the place in terms of where you should be davening. So, Harot says Shiachkim Yadrim v'Shiyashir Yatzpin. So, if you want to be smart, so if you're davening for Chachma, so go to the south, face south. And if you're davening for wealth, so then you should be facing north. V'Simancha, and the Gemara says, and I'll give you a mnemonic. Now, by the way, this is a little bit more than a mnemonic, meaning the placement of the clay HaMikdash in the base of Mikdash clearly is a reflection of these values of wealth being in the north and wisdom being in the south. So it's more than just a simon. So Shulchan Mitzafa Menorah B'Daron, that in the base of Mikdash, if you look where the Kelim are situated, so the Shulchan, which obviously is a representation of wealth, so that's in the north side of the base of Mikdash, and Menorah, which is Or, which is Torah, which is Chachma, so that's in the south side of the base of Mikdash. So clearly the Kelim are a reflection of this idea. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amar Lo Olam Yadrim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says you should be always facing in the southbound direction. Shemitoch shemitchakem mitasher. Because really, if you want osher, so osher is a function of chachma. So get the chachma, and you'll get obviously the chachma and the osher that comes along with it. Shenemar orechamim biyemina ubismala osher vechavod. Okay. Now the Gemara says, now you remember earlier this morning, we had Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi clearly working with the position that Shechin is Bemarav. So that means that when he would daven, he would be facing west. So, over here now, which one is it? Is it going to be west or is it going to be south? Answer, Mitzadeh, that's Dude. Both! Hit the diagonal. So once you hit the diagonal, so now you're going to be headed in a southwest direction. You can see you got the south and you got the west. Okay. Amale Rabbi Chanina Leravashi Kigon Asan Diasvim Bitzfon Eretz Yisrael Adruma Adruma. So you who are situated in the north side of Eretz Yisrael, so you should be facing south. Now, as far as Bavel being to the north of Eretz Yisrael, so how do I know that? Now it's fascinating. The Gemara does not say look at a map. The Gemara does as the Gemara does, and that is Psukim. Psukim are going to tell you where everything is located. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, the beginning of Yirmiyahu, that Safon, that from the north, Tipatach Ra'a, that's where destruction is going to come. Bavel obviously came from the north to destroy the first base of Mikdash. So that is an indication that Bavel is to the north of Eretz Yisrael. So when you're in Bavel and you're davening, where should you be facing? You should be facing the south. Why? Because this obviously is a reflection of the opinion that we're more familiar with, and that is more halacha, l'maisa for us, and that is that we should be facing Eretz Yisrael, specifically the base of Mikdash, as per the Gemara in Brachos. Okay. Just finishing up to the Mishnah. Marchikin es haMishra min hayerek tana Rabbi Yosi mati bechados sheyachol omer lo ad sheata omer lo harchek chardelcha min hadivarai harchek divarcha min chardelai shebaos v'ochlos laglugley chardulai. A comment made by Rabbi Yosi, which we already saw the second time, we're seeing this now in the Perek, and that is that, from Rabbi Yosi's perspective, I can plant my mustards right up against my property line. I know you have bees on your property, but as much as you want me to recess and move my mustard, I'm telling you to move your bees. And as we learned earlier in the Perek, according to Rabbi Yosi, the argument is that as much as you're saying that my mustard is destructive to your bees, so I'm telling you that your bees are destructive to my mustard, so therefore you're competing Nezek, and therefore, Rabbi Yossi says that we can move them one away from the other. Okay.
Who got there first?
Huh? So, you know, that could be another consideration. But again, within Shita's Rabbi Yossi, so that's the that is Rabbi Yossi's general Shita throughout the second parak, that basically the Nizak's responsibility to move away from the Mazik and not the other way around. Okay, stop over here. Well, tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah. Just as a quick recap, as far as where we started, we talked about the Goren, we talked about the stockpile of the wheat, and you're before winnowing, so it has to be at a safe distance, 50 amas away from the city, 50 amas away from your neighbor. And it's going to be damaging to your neighbor's produce, and even just to a fertilized field, because it adds extra fertilization, and over-fertilization is no good. And then we did the Mishnah regarding taking things that give off a foul odor, and moving them far away from the city at a 50 amah distance. According to Rabbi Akiva, you cannot set up the borsigi to the west, because according to Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah didn't say this, but we learned this from the Braisa, Shechina's Bemarav, and it segued into a lengthy discussion, today's daf, regarding the location of Shechina. So a number of Tanaim and Amoraim are of the opinion that Shechina's Bemarav, a number of Tanaim and Amoraim are of the opinion that Shechina's Bechol Makom, and then Lemaisa, what does that mean? It basically is a discussion of which direction should we be facing when we're davening. And then there's a third opinion, which we only got to see at the end of today's daf, which is that the facing of the during davening should be in the direction of the Beis Hamikdash, and the obviously that's the way we follow la halacha.